question from Ramapriya Prabhu, and he is asking the following. If a disciple stops chanting and following devotional life, breaks all the four regulative principles, does the initiating spiritual master get a reaction for this? I believe at one time when Srila Prabhupada was sick, he said it was because his disciples were not following the regulative principles. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's a verse to the effect that the king accepts the faults of the citizens, the husband of his wife, and the spiritual master of his disciple. We know that being accepted by a bona fide spiritual master, receiving initiation, it is said that one becomes free from one's karma, which lie within the heart, dormant, a seed, and so on, and then ultimately one's prarabdha karma, or one's manifest karma. And all of this happens as a result of the process of surrendering to a bona fide spiritual master. What does it mean that the spiritual master takes on the burden of our karma? And how is it that he frees us from that karma? Generally, two things come into play. The first is that the spiritual master gives us instruction and guidance in spiritual life on how to chant Hare Krishna, circumambulate Tulsi Devi, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, associate Vaishnavas, take prasadam, visit holy places, all of which these activities, when performed, even with the shadow of the activity, in other words, abhas, like chanting Hare Krishna with namabhas, or shravanabhas, or hearing just with the shadow of the pure activity, what to speak of doing it actually purely, one becomes free from karma. In other words, the spiritual master gives us those activities by which we become free from our karma. That is how he frees us from the karma. And the second thing that he does is that he gives us his blessings, his well wishes. You're ever well wisher. So by Srila Prabhupada's well wishes, by the well wishes and blessings of the spiritual master, one is also freed from one's karma. Jiva Goswami says that the mercy of the spiritual master frees one from offenses and from sinful activities and bad habits that one otherwise has great difficulty in overcoming. So engagement in devotional activities, accepting the blessings of the spiritual master, frees us from karma. And if a disciple is sincere and follows the instructions of the spiritual master, then the spiritual master doesn't really accept personally. He doesn't suffer for the past karma of the disciple that is burnt up through the process of devotional service. If, however, as in this case, the disciple is offensive, and if he doesn't follow his vows, or on the other side, if the spiritual master is motivated, he accepts disciples to collect numbers, to collect money for some other personal purpose, such as prestige, then he will actually have to suffer for their karma, and he will actually have to suffer for the offense that he is also creating. But back to the sins of the disciple. When a disciple breaks the regulative principles or leaves the path of devotional service, the immediate suffering that comes to the spiritual master is the suffering within the mind, the disturbance it causes one's devotional service, that this disciple is now wayward and he's losing his way after perhaps so many years of devotional service. That really causes suffering to the spiritual master. Moreover, it's not just an individual thing, but there may be other people involved. There may be institution may be involved. We've seen so many times how wayward devotees means or implicates so many other persons, sometimes causes a loss of faith, disturbs other devotees' minds, misleads people from the path of devotional service, causes infamy to a well-reputed institution, blights Srila Prabhupada's name or Krishna's name or Hare Krishna consciousness movement. So all of these cause anxiety, disturbance, and suffering for the spiritual master, which themselves also then result in sickness and so on. Now in Harinam Chintani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes a little further, and he points out that when a disciple becomes sinful, it's the duty of the spiritual master to sever that relationship, or he will actually be responsible for the offenses that a disciple commits, especially if that disciple commits offenses to other Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada then says that if the spiritual master is very powerful, then he's like a big fire, and he can burn off all such sinful reaction. But if spiritual master is not so powerful, if he's not past the stage of bhava, if he's not on the transcendental platform, then the burden of those sinful activities may then decrease his own spiritual strength. And I believe in the story of Prithvisura, Srila Prabhupada makes this comment of how a person, devotee or spiritual master's spiritual strength may diminish. This again is in the case of a spiritual master who's a conditioned soul. So depending on the stature of the spiritual master, then he will suffer for the sins of his disciples. What about Srila Prabhupada when he said that he was sick as a result of the sinful activity, or I personally heard him say the lack of sadhana of disciples? I take that in the way that Srila Prabhupada also compares himself to conditioned souls in many circumstances. And when preaching or talking, he uses the terminology we, us, as conditioned souls, we are. He places himself in the category of conditioned soul. So he points out how a spiritual master who's in the conditioned stage may suffer for those situations as a warning to us, to those who are less advanced. And then, of course, the final point is that just as in the case that when a devotee burns off the results of his past prarabdha karma, he still has karma. Krishna maintains karma. We call this Krishna karma, that Krishna is personally giving him karma to make him surrender, to bring him closer to him. It may be that both a liberated spiritual master and one who's not so liberated, Krishna may also give them a token reaction, which Srila Prabhupada also mentions, in order both to educate them and also to make an example of them to others, as in the case of putting the Pandavas, Prahlad Maharaj, and others who are karmaless, who are faultless through so many difficulties, in order to teach us conditioned souls. So, but the overall message is very clear. Once we take a vow, once we promise to follow the process of devotional service, once we surrender ourselves to a spiritual master, we must continue with those vows. If we qualify, I want to qualify ourselves as gentlemen, as Vaishnavas, or as civilized human beings. We've given our word, and therefore we should stick to it and not cause anxiety or suffering for our spiritual master, for it is a fact that all spiritual masters in one way or another will suffer when they see their disciples rejecting the process of devotional service and engaging in sinful practices again. Hare Krishna.